In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for the second hour for Friday, July 2nd, 2010 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It is, of course, Friday at 2, and that means it's time for the Federal News Countdown. What we do is we get two experts from the world of the federal government to choose the stories that they think are the three most important federal news stories of the week. They come into the studio on Friday at 2 and count them down in order from the third most important in their mind to the most important story of the week. And I've got two great people on the countdown this week, two friends and two friends of Federal News Radio. One, in fact, works here. Well, you kind of both do. Federal News Radio's Tom Temin from the Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris. Your first time on the show.
It is my first time on the show, and it's great to be across the board from you again,
Francis. Great to see you, and thank you for staying here long. I mean, you got here, what, 4:30 this morning?
No, I got here at 4 o'clock this morning, but I got up at 2:30 so I could be here at 4.
So if you fall asleep during the countdown, I won't be offended.
I'm pretty high-octane guy. I'll stay with you.
And Larry Allen is the president of the Coalition for Government Procurement and also the host of Off the Shelf. I always call it Off the Hook. I don't know why. Because you are off the hook, Larry.
We're off the hook. We're off the wall.
Yeah. And when's your show on?
It's on 10:30 on Tuesday morning and elsewhere in the midnight hour where people, I think, listen to us most.
Okay. And
we call also, that midnight at the Oasis.
That's exactly right. It's also archived at federalnewsradio.com and that you can listen to Larry's show off the shelf anytime you want to. Before we go on the countdown, I'm going to take the host's prerogative, and I want to wish a happy birthday to my wife, Lisa, who turns 29 today. She is celebrating, I think, at the swimming pool. I tried to call her a few minutes ago.
Wasn't she 29 last year?
You don't need to go into that. That's not helpful.
I was going to mention.
Because I'm going to be on vacation next week, so I'll have all week to live it down if you keep up on that line. But she's at the pool with the boys today, so happy birthday to you, dear. And I love you very much, and I'm looking forward to a great vacation next week. Now, that means, of course, no Federal News Countdown next Friday. So we're going to play this Federal News Countdown again, so you guys are actually going to be on twice.
No pressure.
And I
so,
think our story picks are going to still be relevant anyway.
Well,
Friday.
A lot of them are, yeah, and because the stuff that we're talking about this week is the kind of thing that doesn't go away, and so we'll get right into the countdown with
number three.
The third most important federal news story of the week, according to Tom Temin, is headlined U.S. Accepts International Assistance for Gulf Spill. It's from federalnewsradio.com. And why did this one jump out at you, Tom?
Well, this Gulf Spill clearly is a gigantic issue for the federal government, and it's a gigantic issue for the American people. And it's been a low-level discussion because it's been overshadowed by the spill itself, by the BP scandal, by all the hullabaloo around this. But we know now that ships were offered by various countries to help early on in the spill. And for some reason, and I think this is all going to come out eventually, the Obama administration didn't want the help.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, now some of the commentators are saying, well, it's because of the Jones Act, which means you have to be a union employee in order to work in American waters.
Mm-hmm.
But it would seem like this emergency so overshadowed anything that parochial that you would take the help immediately and then worry about it later. So I think in terms of the damage that this has done and the credibility issues with the federal government surrounding it, I think it was a huge story. Again, didn't get a lot of publicity, but I think it's a sleeper.
Mm-hmm.
I think you had a great point there, Tom, and particularly when you look at some of the stories coming out that show that these other countries that are offering aid actually have advanced technology that's a little bit more so than what we have. So it's not just that it's more of the same. It's actually state-of-the-art stuff that we could have been taking advantage of for quite some time, and that's probably a good thing for the people in Louisiana, Florida, and the other Gulf states to hear.
All right. Tom Temin's story number three on the countdown is headlined, U.S. Accepts International Assistance for Gulf Spill. The hamster in our web department is working right now, spinning the little thing, the treadmill, to get all of these stories linked up at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth so you can read along with us as we count them down. Larry, your story number three is also from federalnewsradio.com. It's Jason Miller's story headlined, OFPP Tries New Approach to Rein in Mass. Multiple award contracts going crazy, according to some members of Congress, and now OFPP wants in on the action, too.
Well, you're exactly right, Francis. This was a hearing this week with Senator Claire McCaskill's Contracting Oversight Subcommittee up on the Senate. This was actually part two of a two-part hearing started last February on interagency contracting. Interagency contracting, a big issue, not just for Senator McCaskill, but for a lot of people in government procurement, because it speaks to the best use of the government's scarce resources. And when you have duplicative contracts, people incentivized to do the same thing, contracting officers putting their own programs into place that may already exist, even sometimes within their own agency, that's a concern because it's a cost for government and a cost for the contractors that are doing business. And the feature testimony this week was Dan Gordon, Dan, the administrator of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy. His testimony centered around the fact that his office is going to later this summer issue some regulations that take, I think, a first step at making requiring agencies to conduct a business case study before they put in new MACs, especially new MACs that other agencies besides themselves might use. And I think that's a welcome development.
Dan Gordon, if I recall correctly, and if I'm wrong, please correct me, but his name kind of came out of nowhere for the OFPP administrator job. I don't remember, you know, we hear all the scuttlebutt in the community, and I don't remember his name being bandied about. I remember when it was announced, people said, Dan Gordon? And by all accounts, he's gotten great reviews since he's been in at OFPP.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. He was kind of a sleeper that came out of the Government Accountability Office where he was senior counsel, but a career Fed, nothing wrong with that. Career Feds are great, but it's unusual to have a career Fed in the OFPP job at the beginning of an administration. But you're right, Dan brings incredible energy and enthusiasm to the job, and he's been a good person for people to work with.
Yeah, I think Dan's 30 years or whatever it is in federal government really shows, because let's face it, the last few political appointees to the top job at OFPP haven't worked out so well and for various reasons. But Dan's taking a nuanced approach. He doesn't come out with strong fiats. He's not an impresario, and he's not given to big Indian treaty room types of ceremonies like the great Kelman was, you know, so many years ago. And so he tempers what he says, aware of what the realities, I think, of what's possible in the federal government versus the idealism that someone coming from the outside could try to bring in and fall flat on their face.
Be careful what you say about Kelman. He listens to this show, you know.
Hi, Steve.
Larry Allen, story number three on the Federal News Countdown this week is headlined OFPP Tries New Approach to Rein in MACs. All the stories that you're hearing on the Federal News Countdown can be found very, very soon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. We're up to story number two for Larry Allen of the Coalition for Government Procurement and Tom Temin of the Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris. We'll do story number two from each of them starting next on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
If you're in sales or own your own business, and you have more customers than you can handle, then you'll want to cover your ears. Because I'm about to tell you how to find even more customers. Customers who are just like your best customers. It's Sales Genie, America's leading provider of sales leads, plus money-making email and direct mail solutions. With Sales Genie, you can actually clone your best customers to find more of the customers you want. And right now, you can try Sales Genie for free just by calling 1-800-500-9903. No matter what you're selling or who you're selling to, Sales Genie provides the comprehensive information you need to create successful email, telemarketing, and direct mail campaigns. In fact, the only way Sales Genie won't work is if you don't use it. So if you're ready to find more customers who are just like your best customers, call now to try Sales Genie for free. To get your free trial, call Sales Genie now. 1-800-500-9903. That's 1-800-500-9903. 1-800-500-9903.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. The right technology, right away.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
The Future of Public Sector Workforce and Workspace Sustainability is a series featuring a panel of renowned government and technology industry experts, sponsored by Cisco. This second panel in the series focuses on the role of confidence in 21st century workforce collaboration to improve decision-making, employee engagement, and performance. Panelists discuss how varying levels of decisions require different means of communication, interactions, and solutions. Panelist Dave Wintergren, Deputy CIO at the Department of Defense, commented.
Really sort of comes down to two sets of things. You got to have the technology in place that you're going to be an employer choice, that they're going to be able to use the tools at work that they're used to using in their personal lives. And then how do you change what it means to offer them the kind of environment that they're looking for, the kind of job opportunities? And it's a challenging thing. And while the Next Generation Workforce Guide was built for, if you will, information leaders across the federal government, I encourage supervisors of any functional area to take a look at it, because it really is something that we will have to work on together.
To hear this show in its entirety, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword work.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabek. Here's what we're working on for the Thursday edition of the Dorabek Insider. You heard the healthcare debate today. Check out the healthcare website, healthcare.gov. It's an online clearinghouse of health insurance plan information. And we'll talk to the man behind it, Todd Park. He's the CTO at HHS. And are you heading to the mall for the 4th of July? We'll hear about feds who make it all come together. All that and much more this afternoon, 3 to 7 on the Dorabek Insider. It's on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's the Federal News Countdown for Friday, July 2nd on In Depth with Francis Rose. And we are up to
number two.
The second most important story of the week, as chosen coincidentally by both Larry Allen and Tom Temin, is a Washington Post story with the headline, Pentagon Looks for $100 billion in Cost Savings. And I'm really glad that you guys chose this. I have to say, if I were choosing, I would have put this at number one, but I'm not quibbling. I'm not arguing with you about it. It's your prerogative. But this, I think, is huge because there are so many elements to this. Tom, why don't you start with what you choose to be the most important one or two elements of this story?
Well, I think one of the most important elements, and first of all, I want to say that I think some of the reporting by the different papers and trade press has been a little sloppy on it, because there's a couple of efforts going on. There is the absolute reduction in expenditure by the Pentagon, which was announced this week. But earlier, there was the reduction in costs for administration and overhead, and the redeployment of most of that money toward the warfighting effort. So rebalancing the tooth-to-tail ratio is one part of it, but then the overall reduction is the other part. And I think they kind of got smooshed together here in these two stories. But to me, the significant thing was the fact that Ashton Carter, and you know, we were talking about Dan Gordon, it's like Revenge of the Nerds this past week. Ashton Carter had a big group of vendors meeting at a think tank, the Center for Strategic and International Studies, CSIS. I know the acronym, I can never remember the name. And then he had all of the acquisition professional, top brass, career people from the Pentagon over at National Defense University, not in the same room. So he did the meeting seriously, but he read essentially politely, but really wanted to make the Riot Act clear. This is something that has to happen.
Yeah.
And it struck me strange that he would do those serially instead of just getting everyone in the same room.
Sent a letter that we have posted at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth to all the acquisition officials at the Pentagon, too. This whole thing happened, the Carter meeting at CSIS was on Monday. When was the meeting with the acquisition? Also Monday?
They were both Monday.
Okay. And then also a news conference at the Pentagon that we ran on Tuesday on In Depth with Francis Rose, and the video of that posted on the In Depth page at federalnewsradio.com as well. And then, coincidentally enough, this is a good week for you to be here, Larry, because you had Shea Assad at a CGP event on Wednesday, right?
Thursday morning.
Oh, Thursday morning.
And Shea, the Director of Defense Procurement and Acquisition Policy, one of Dr. Carter's key aides, and Shea basically echoed the remarks that his boss had made earlier in the week, saying that the Department of Defense is absolutely serious about reducing its acquisition overhead. And the element that Tom talked about, and I totally agree, Tom, that the two stories did get smushed together. I was talking to somebody yesterday on the phone who totally missed the contract consolidation, acquisition, overhead reduction part of this equation. And that's one that, you know, geekheads like us like to focus on. The spending parts, of course, of paramount importance. But it is interesting to see that you've got the Pentagon now keyed on saying that we can't afford to do things the way we're doing. And even though we are staffing up exponentially in the acquisition workforce, which everybody has agreed is important, given the depth and breadth of things that the agency does. But at the same time, Shea and Dr. Carter both saying we're going to make smart use of these people and we're not going to have them all doing the same thing.
I had Steve Charles from Immix Group on the show yesterday for their industry chatter, and that conversation also posted on the In-Depth page. He made a point, though, about something that Mr. Assad said at your event, Larry, and that was he talked about the acquisition professionals that they're bringing in. And the fact that these acquisition professionals, they're ahead of schedule, they're as far, or ahead of quota as far as the number they're going to try to bring in. But he said Mr. Assad made it a point to highlight the fact that they are hiring a lot of people with master's degrees, a lot of people with PhDs. And Steve's, what he drew from that was that these are going to be people who are numbers people, who are going to be thinking a lot about the absolute numbers and not as much about being able to weigh the apples to oranges that you see a lot of times in services contracts. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. Assad made a point, Francis, about emphasizing that these are pricing people. Pricing people who predominantly have a background outside not just of DOD contracting, but government contracting generally. So there are people that he hopes are going to bring a fresh perspective, no preconceived notions into it, but they are pricing analysts who are going to look at whatever the price is offered. And he went so far to say is, look, even in the case where we get a single response to an RFP, where before we had said, oh, okay, that's what the contractor says it costs, that's what it costs, we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to go back and we're going to analyze those prices and we're going to have a negotiation with that single responder to make sure that the prices that we've been offered as the department are good prices.
And well, I feel that's right. And they should do that. And it's something, though, that I think you can do all the day long, but it won't help the overall acquisition costs if they, the people in the Pentagon, the program managers, aren't trained to get their requirements in line. Because the thing that drives all these service contracts out of control is not the per-hour pricing or whatever the price basis is. It's the fact of the change orders that keep coming from the government and the nice-to-haves and the changes. And if you could fix the requirements, then you wouldn't need fixed-price contracts.
You're right. And there's also an issue with following on to that point, Tom. You get the people in the field who want what they want, and woe be it to the person that stands in front of the warfighter and gives them something other than what it is they feel they need to execute their duties. And I've spoken to several people since Dr. Carter's remarks came out and after the breakfast with Shea Assad who said, well, that's nice. It may have an impact around the Pentagon, but when you are talking specifically about in-theater contracting, talking about that stuff where you get a lot of bells and whistle type thing, this may have mixed utility and impact overall.
Go ahead, Tom.
Well, I was going to say, too, there's another issue here that wasn't stated in this round of open discussions, but it's something that the Secretary has been saying, and that is the way in which DOD in many ways is a microcosm of the larger country, and that is the costs of benefits, particularly health care, for this volunteer force that we have. It's a very effective force, and it's one that needs to be rewarded properly. But he has said in his words, Secretary Gates' words, they're eating us alive, these costs. And so at some point, they're going to have to go after that. How you do that politically, I wouldn't even hazard a guess.
All right. The first thing that I thought of as I heard Dr. Carter talk about this stuff on the Federal Drive on In-Depth on, I'm looking at you and thinking Federal Drive, Tom, on my show on Tuesday was, how long is it going to take for this idea, this attitude to be implemented at other agencies. And I want to talk about that when we come back on the Federal News Countdown. Story number two from both Tom Temin and Larry Allen is a Washington Post story with the headline, Pentagon looks for $100 billion in cost savings. It's the Federal News Countdown on In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Checking your daily TSP ticker, the latest numbers from June 30th, 2010. The G Fund rises 0.01 at 1333. The F Fund is unchanged at $14.05. The C Fund loses 0.13 at 1233. The S Fund is down 0.15 at $16.32. And the I Fund drops 0.09 at 1592. We have some losses for your L funds, the 2040 down 0.10 at $14.80. The 2030 falls 0.09 at $14.77. The 2020 down 0.07 at $14.79. The 2010 loses 0.03 at $15.21. And the L income falls 0.03 at $13.89. Check your rates anytime, every day on federalnewsradio.com. Dimitri Sotis, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
This federal government update is brought to you by the U.S. General Services Administration.
The Base Realignment and Closure Plan is becoming reality at the National Naval Medical Center in Bethesda, Maryland. It has officially opened its new state-of-the-art research and treatment facility for members of the military suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder and other psychological issues. The National Intrepid Center of Excellence says the progress it makes treating these men and women will eventually help service members in military and VA hospitals across the country.
Whether your duty station is North Carolina or Northern Afghanistan, GSA Global Supply is your one-stop source for worldwide delivery of more than 400,000 products. With simple requisitions and easy compliance with FAR and Ability One mandates, GSA Global Supply delivers. To learn more, visit gsaglobalsupply.gsa.gov. That's gsaglobalsupply.gsa.gov. GSA, your everything source for mission support.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Debt stinks. No one wants to have it, and no one wants to battle it. Having too much debt is an embarrassing situation that can dramatically impact the quality of your life, including your ability to get a loan or a job. At the Great Credit for Life Center, we've met too many good people who have too much bad debt. That's why we've shown over 2 million people how to eliminate their credit card debts, car payments, student loans, even their mortgage. Our debt-free Bible will show you some of the most successful debt-eliminating secrets in the world. You can get out of debt no matter how much money you owe or how much money you make. The truth is, the debt-free Bible contains secrets to helping you live debt-free. That's why everyone needs it. To find out how to get a free copy of the debt-free Bible, call now while a limited number of free copies are still available. Call 1-800-400-9257. For your debt-free Bible, call 1-800-400-9257. 1-800-400-9257.
Plan now to attend the Association of Federal Information Resources Management's annual series of education events at our discounted government membership rates. For a full year subscription, including a firm membership, you'll support a firm's scholarships while learning about government information technology challenges each month from September to June. You can also bring your talent to many of a firm's committees in support of our nonprofit goals. Sign up today at www.affirm.org.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. It is the Federal News Countdown, and counting down the three most important federal news stories of the week as selected by them is Larry Allen, the president of the Coalition for Government Procurement and the host of Off the Shelf, I got it right that time, on Federal News Radio, and that's Tuesday mornings at 10:30, right?
That's right.
Okay. I don't know why I have this mind block against when your show's on the air, but it's archived all the time at federalnewsradio.com. And Tom Temin, the one of the co-hosts of the Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris, and, of course, your co-host would be Amy Morris, since it's in the show, appropriately enough. And this is actually a rarity on the show. Very seldom in the history of the Federal News Countdown have the people on the show chosen the same story, and let alone in the same spot. But you've both put this Washington Post story at number two. The headline is, Pentagon looks for $100 billion in cost savings. Before the break, we were talking about Shea Assad of the Pentagon, who was, Larry, at your event yesterday, and talking about how the Pentagon is going to reshape the way they do acquisition. And my first question was, how long is it going to be till we hear that, oh, this is working so well at the Pentagon that maybe with a few modifications or changes, we're going to see the same thing for next year at maybe three or four other agencies and maybe some sub-agencies, and then the year after that, we're going to see it all across government. Does it strike you as this being something that's kind of in the rollout phase?
It does, Francis. This is something that you see not infrequently in government acquisition, where you have the Department of Defense that controls so much of the spend, saying we're going to adopt this new, what we believe is a best practice in this area. In this case, we're going to be doing a lot of pricing analysis. We're going to be having conversations with contractors, even if they were the only bidder on a contract. That's something that's really very new in government contracting. And other agencies are going to be looking closely at this to see what type of results the Pentagon gets. But in the meantime, this will probably be something that starts to catch fire in things like the Chief Acquisition Officer's Council. And you'll see, just like you do with the iPhone, some early adopters of this practice, and then probably have it spread out from there.
Now, Tom, you've been following these kinds of acquisition changes and reforms and so on since, I think, the Paleolithic era. And
certainly since the Brooks Act was still going.
Exactly. What is your prognosis for success based on what you've heard Ash Carter and now Shea Assad say about this?
Well, I wish I could say I'm optimistic, but I think that the best I can say is what's the cliche, guardedly optimistic.
Yeah.
This is a substantial savings. I mean, the annual budget of the Pentagon, base budget, is plus or minus $500 billion. And if they want to save $20 billion out of that every year, that's 4%, you know, 3.5%, 4.5%, that kind of percent. That's a big number for an organization of any size. And remember, last year, the president issued a cost savings order to the rest of the civilian government and saying, well, let's try to get $75 million, not $100 billion.
Yeah.
And so that was really chump change, $100 million, $75 million. When you're talking billions, 4% of the entire base budget, that's a very, very ambitious goal. And I think they have to set it that way, because otherwise the bureaucracy would not believe they're serious.
I'm also struck by what this means politically. We don't do a lot of politics on this radio station, but I think there is definitely a political element to this in two ways. I think this is the Defense Department and the Obama administration continuing to reinforce the point to Congress, don't buy us stuff that we don't want, because we're serious about this stuff. The members of Congress, Carl Levin, said not too long ago, I don't think the president really means it when he says that he would veto the budget if it has stuff in there that he says he doesn't want.
Extra jet engine.
Yeah, exactly. Although the administration has said that. So I think this is another, this is their response to comments like Senator Levin saying, we mean it this time. The other element is politically to the organizations all over the country that are saying, we want you to cut government, but don't cut defense spending. And I think they're saying here, there's no sacred cows when it comes to the government. In fact, we're going to start with defense spending. That's where we're going to place emphasis first and then go to the other agencies. Any thoughts about those concepts?
Well, I'll back it up even further than that, Francis, for just a minute, saying that when you're talking about DOD spending or civilian agency spending, you're really only talking about a part of the overall federal budget. If you're really looking at the federal budget, you should be looking at things like Social Security, Medicare, service on the debt, the so-called mandatory spending elements. To the extent that you can begin to chip away at, and that's really just what you're doing, chip away at government spending by looking at reducing government spending in DOD. $100 billion sounds like a big number, and it is. But that really is only still getting at a part of the overall federal spend that, even though it has its political supporters, is a little bit more touchable than maybe some of the social programs like Medicare and Social Security. But you're going to have to touch everything at some point if you're serious about getting a handle on that.
Yeah, Tom, Larry has a good point. $100 billion is a lot of money relative maybe to the Pentagon budget, but relative to the overall budget of the federal government, it's just nothing.
Well, that's right. Not when you talk about a federal government that's borrowing approximately 45 cents out of every dollar that it's spending or raising. So that's a huge problem. But I think there's even long-term questions here, longer term. It may be politics. It might be philosophy. But a couple of things I'm thinking of, and that is, you know, what will the conflicts be for the United States? I think at this point they're looking for the next 5 or 10 years. And I think in some sense with these types of efforts, they're kicking the can down the road for 25 or 30 years. Seeing what will happen between strategically between the United States and China. And that there's no way of knowing. That's pie in the sky. And the other philosophical question is, nobody's broached this yet, but I think it's a tiny dot on the horizon. You see little comments here and there reading around some of the things that I read is, people are starting to say, you know, the volunteer army is a really expensive proposition. And if we look at the strategic questions way down the line, you know, what does that mean for the all-volunteer force? Don't know. Sweden, you know, this week of all countries just went to an all-volunteer force for the first time. And so, you know, that seems to be the trend around the world from universal service. But I don't know the answer. I'm just saying I think that's a spot on the horizon that people are starting to think about. The military says, rightfully so, the quality is so much higher with volunteers that when they can pick and choose who they get, that in the technological wars that we have now and the lack of, you know, million people, man armies meeting on fields of yesteryear, you don't need general conscription and draft and all that kind of thing. But it is expensive.
The number two story on the Federal News Countdown this week, as selected by both of my guests, Tom Temin of the Federal Drive on Federal News Radio and Larry Allen of the Coalition for Government Procurement, is the Washington Post story under the headline, Pentagon Looks for $100 Billion in Cost Savings. And I'm pleased to say that the hamsters have now pedaled the treadmill sufficiently to get all of your stories up on federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.
What I want to know is how you get away in the afternoon with calling them hamsters.
Well, because
in the morning, we call them our beloved web editors.
Well, I don't have a beloved web editor. I have to depend on the hamster. So
I'm looking at the hamster.
Yes,
huh?
That's exactly right.
I get it.
Back for story number one of the Federal News Countdown from Tom Temin and Larry Allen on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
NBC News Radio, I'm Marla Smajeris. A host of dignitaries, including President Obama, are paying their respects at this hour at the memorial service for West Virginia Senator Robert Byrd. Kentucky Republican Senator Mitch McConnell remembered his Democratic colleague for his hometown loyalty.
Some people get elected to the Senate with the hope of making it on the national stage. Not Robert Byrd. As he once put it, when I am dead and I am opened, they will find West Virginia written on my heart.
New jobs reports out this morning show the unemployment rate fell to 9.5% from May to June, but payrolls were also cut last month by 125,000. President Obama said the economy is moving in the right direction.
Our economy has created nearly 600,000 private sector jobs this year.
AAA says if you're hitting the road for the holiday weekend, you'll have lots of company. About 35 million plan to travel at least 50 miles from home. I'm Marla Smajeris, NBC News Radio.
Right now, the Home Depot is giving you more time to pay with special deferred financing store-wide. Just use your Home Depot consumer credit card to buy, say, a new grill and save twice. Once because of everyday low prices, and twice because there will be more grilling in and less dining out, making your budget and taste buds happy. Thanks to special deferred financing store-wide. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through July 7th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Now through July 6th, shop Gap Outlet for our summer sale and save up to 70% off. Plus, starting Thursday, get all shorts for the family for just $10. And starting Thursday, save an additional 40% off everything at Banana Republic Factory Store. 40% off the entire store, plus our special cardigan and polo for just $10. Sale ends July 6th. Shop Gap Outlet and Banana Republic Factory Stores in Leesburg, Woodbridge, and Hanover. Shop Gap Outlet in Alexandria.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
Without knowing exactly why, scientists have observed that people who regularly take non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like aspirin have lower incidences of certain types of cancer. Now, in a study appearing in Cancer Cell magazine, investigators at Sanford Burnham Medical Research Institute and their colleagues have figured out how one such drug, called Sulindac, inhibits the growth of tumors. The study reveals that the drug shuts down cancer cell growth and initiates the death of cells by binding to a nuclear receptor that can then turn genes on or off. Sulindac is currently prescribed for the treatment of pain and fever and to help relieve symptoms of arthritis. The current study demonstrates a new application as a potential anti-cancer treatment that targets certain kinds of tumors.
General Dynamics Information Technology, delivering the strength of technology to achieve mission success. General Dynamics IT. Visit GDIT.com to learn more.
What is the Global Partnership Initiative? How is the U.S. Department of State leveraging private-public partnerships to achieve foreign policy goals? Listen next week as these questions and more will be explored with Ambassador Elizabeth Frawley Bagley, Special Representative, Global Partnership Initiative at the U.S. Department of State. Join host Michael Keegan next week on the Business of Government Hour.
Newsmakers, talk to Jason Miller.
Jaron Doherty is the VA's Chief Information Security Officer. He says by September 30th, VA will know the status of every desktop computer on its network, no matter the operating system.
Which would include routers, switches, servers, the entire infrastructure. We're working with our industry partners and the Food and Drug Administration to try to make sure that there's no chance of malware getting on those machines that could adversely affect medical diagnosis.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.
Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. It is the Independence Day weekend getaway edition of the Federal News Countdown with Tom Temin from the Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris and Larry Allen, the president of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And on the Federal News Countdown, we're up to
number one.
The top story of the week, the most important federal news story as chosen by Tom Temin, is the confirmation of General David Petraeus to take over in Afghanistan. Now, normally what we do is we would talk about your story number one, Tom. But Larry, your story number one is a Congress Daily story under the headline, Hoyer says votes on wartime supplemental by Friday. Today's Friday. We didn't get a vote, but this is a story about the supplemental spending in Afghanistan at about the same time that General Petraeus was confirmed this week. So I'm going to pull another judgment call, another audible on the field, and mix the discussion of these two stories together, and both of them linked up at federalnewsradio.com. Tom, I'm still stumped by the whole McChrystal to Petraeus. I'm not by the transition, I guess, just by the whole self-immolation of General McChrystal. I just still can't process how we got here.
Well, these things are always puzzling, but he's not the first self-immolating general. I mean, this goes back to MacArthur. It goes back to the time that General McClellan left Abraham Lincoln sitting in his parlor while McClellan went up to bed, you know, and so during the height of the Civil War. However, it also we have short memories, too. Back in 2007, Admiral Fallon, Bill Fallon, who was then the leader of Central Command, also made comments to Esquire magazine, and he had to resign. Mm-hmm. One of his comments was, "I'm the only thing standing between George Bush and war with Iran."
Mm.
And so, that's not a great comment either.
Actually,
so,
Admiral, you're not, as a matter
of
fact.
So he resigned. He's doing very well. He's a very brilliant man, brilliant military guy, also a long-term, you know, 31 years and the four-star equivalent to the Admiral, so in Navy, rather. And so he was the boss of David that betray us at that time. Mm-hmm. So kind of here we go again. But I thought that this brought together so many elements. The frankly difficult situation of the war in Afghanistan. It's not going really the way I think any of us hoped it would go.
Mm-hmm.
And also the seeming lack of leadership depth when the president turns to someone who is actually taking a job that was subordinate to the job that he held now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Afghanistan commander reports to CENTCOM.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess General Petraeus is now reporting to himself in effect.
Well, no, I saw a report this week that there will be a new CENTCOM.
Okay, well, there you go. So,
commander.
All right. But nevertheless, it shows, you know, how tough it is to find someone to handle this. And I thought it was just simply interesting, too, that the President Obama chose the man that George Bush's predecessor chose
mm-hmm.
to get a job done. In that case, was the surge in Iraq. So for a lot of reasons, I thought this was a significant story.
Yeah, Petraeus, somebody who has a very good reputation, very well known, and I think one of the reasons why the president chose him, not just because he can get it done, although he certainly proved that in Iraq, is because he could get him on the ground in Afghanistan fairly quickly, get him through the Senate confirmation hearing. It was this whole brouhaha only erupted a couple of weeks ago, and now the president has brought it fairly swiftly to a close, Senate obliging this week in getting Petraeus confirmed before they went out of town for the weekend. So he's a name easily identified. He's a good leader, a great leader, but also somebody who has the political top cover that allows him to move through the system fairly quickly.
Yeah, in this day and age, for somebody to be confirmed 99 to nothing
right.
is saying something. And the only reason he didn't get 100 is because Senator Byrd died. Otherwise, it would have been 100 to nothing.
I mean, that's right.
The other big story of the week that we didn't have a chance to talk about as it relates to the federal government, I guess that would be story number 3A for probably all of us, the passing of Senator Byrd. But what's the significance of the fact that we're not seeing the wartime supplemental when we thought we were going to?
Well, it's a big significance, Francis. In fact, Petraeus this week came out and said, we need these funds before Congress goes home for July 4th.
Mm-hmm.
Not exactly what he said, but that was the upshot
yeah.
of it. You had the Pentagon saying, even the secretary saying in May, we really kind of want this money in May, but we absolutely have to have it by the July 4th recess. Well, here we are at the July 4th recess, no money. Each chamber's kind of passed their own bill, but they don't match, so they'll be sitting around until the Senate comes back July 12th. You're going to have some serious issues with how the Pentagon juggles its existing funding around to pay for Afghan operations that aren't going to wait before the Senate comes back in mid-July. And now we're looking at maybe getting something done on this issue, hopefully by the August recess. And the tie-up isn't so much, although it was a little bit in the House, about paying for ongoing operations in Afghanistan. It's the other things that got attached to the bill, the whole social domestic spending package that had to be attached to the House version in order for rank and file House Democrats to vote for it. And certainly that's something that the Senate will now have to tackle and decide whether or not they want to follow suit. I don't see that as being very likely right now.
We've got to take a break, but let's, during the break, do this. Let's make a list of all the things that we can think of that that Congress is expected to do between now and the November elections. Start working on your own list, because I think it's going to be much longer than the amount of actual work days that are going to happen. We'll do that during the break on the Federal News Countdown on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We're counting down the three most important federal news stories of the week, as chosen by Larry Allen of the Coalition for Government Procurement and Tom Temin of the Federal Drive on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
If you're ready to lose weight, you want a diet that's doctor-designed, a diet that's delicious and will end your cravings, a diet that's easy to follow and revs up your metabolism, a diet that really isn't a diet after all. Introducing the free 7-day trial from the South Beach Diet, doctor-designed, clinically proven, and successfully used by millions. You will never need another weight loss solution again. And now you can try it for free when you visit startsouthbeachdiet.com.
Oh, the South Beach Diet makes it so easy to lose weight. I still can't believe I can eat all my favorite foods. Burgers, pasta, pizza, even dessert.
The South Beach Diet isn't really a diet because it fits your life day after day. It tastes delicious, and it will never leave you feeling hungry. You'll eat the right carbs and the right fats, giving you the right weight loss results. Are you ready to start losing weight for free? Then log on to StartSouthBeachDiet.com today and start your 7-day free trial. Go to StartSouthBeachDiet.com. StartSouthBeachDiet.com.
Are you tired of hiding your varicose and spider veins? Tired of the fear and frustration that someone will actually see your legs? Then it's time to say goodbye to those ugly veins for good. Because for the next 24 hours, you can try Vinacura free. All-natural Vinacura is specially formulated with a clinically proven ingredient that dramatically reduces the appearance of varicose and spider veins. It comes from Europe and is finally available in the United States. To get your free trial, just call 1-800-300-2550 in the next 24 hours. With Vinacura, you can finally say goodbye to summers without shorts, so long to the embarrassment of wearing swimsuits in public, and I'm done to all the misery caused by varicose and spider veins. Visibly erase your ugly veins, even if you've had them for years, by calling for your risk-free trial of Vinacura. 1-800-300-2550. But you must hurry. This free offer is only available for the next 24 hours. Call 1-800-300-2550.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. The right technology, right away.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Before the break, we were talking about the Afghan supplemental spending bill on the Federal News Countdown with my guests this week, Tom Temin and Larry Allen. And my challenge to you gentlemen before the break was to come up with a list of all of the things that Congress has to do between now and the November elections. And here's the list we came up with. 12 budget bills, the Afghan supplemental, Larry, that you talked about, financial reform, a jobs bill with extensions for unemployment insurance, cap and trade or energy legislation, I think they're going to wind up being rolled up together, and immigration reform that President Obama just talked about, and we counted 8 weeks between today and the November 2nd election for all of this stuff theoretically to get done. It ain't going to happen.
No, and 12 lords a-leaping in a partridge
exactly,
in a pear tree.
Exactly.
It's just not going to happen. I wanted to get back, too, to something Larry said that I think a point needs to be emphasized that you were very right about. It seems like the government sometimes floats along no matter what happens in Congress with the appropriations. But the fact is money from the agency operation standpoint is finite. And if they don't get that supplemental bill, training could be canceled. Operations and exercises on the home front could be curtailed. People can be furloughed, actually. Mm-hmm. Civilian employees could be furloughed. And so this, you could see real effect. Contractors could see suspensions of spending on contracting to do this to make sure that the Afghanistan operation keeps going. Otherwise, that does grind to a halt. That is a real possibility. It's not just threats that they're making.
In fact, Tom, that's already happened in some areas. What I've been telling my members in the association is that, look, if you're not supplying things, particularly to the Army and Marine Corps that are in direct support of Afghan operations, not only are you going to see a relatively dry well until that Afghan supplemental gets passed, whether you're supplying commercial items or war material, there simply isn't any money. You also run the risk, and companies are already starting to see this, of not getting paid on stuff that you've shipped. So if you've shipped $500,000 worth of furniture, and you expect to be paid on that, and it went to the Army, I would be guessing you're not going to get paid on that until the supplemental passes. So not passing this money on time does have wide-reaching implications. And ironically, some of the implications are those that impact the struggling commercial economic sector of the country.
All right, I've got since I've got two experts here in a couple of minutes, I want to go back to this list that we came up with. It's possible those 12 budget bills won't get passed, that we'll be here in December in a lame duck session with all rolled into one, an omnibus bill again for the 819th year in a row. So that might not happen. We'll get an Afghan supplemental, I would imagine, eventually. I mean, we got to. Financial reform, jobs bill, energy, immigration. A lot of those, it seems to me, are too politically charged to probably have anything done about them over the next couple of months.
Well, there's a very difficult election season coming up. This is going to be crabby. You know, it's a hot summer coming up, and yeah. I think it's just going to be a crabby election season. No matter what party you're in, it's going to be a tough one.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say that, too, because I'm seeing the same thing that I guess you guys are seeing, which is this looks like a good year for Republicans. And I'm not convinced that that's the case. I think if you have a star next to your name that indicates that you're already here, it's going to be a tough year no matter which party you're in.
Well, I think you're right about that, Francis. I think that you've seen a lot of people talking about things that they think have already happened. It's almost as if in some quarters the election has already taken place, and it hasn't. Maybe people are getting a little bit too ahead of themselves. But I think it's a deadlock certainty that you won't see things like all 12 appropriations bills passed on time. I think you may have DOD, possibly DHS by the start of the new fiscal year. I would actually think that most feds would be happy if they had everything sewn up by December. Depending on the outcome of the midterm, I think it's entirely possible that this Congress might punt to their successors.
Mm-hmm. A lot more that we can talk about, and we're out of time to do it. And I want to thank you both, gentlemen, for being here today on the Independence Day getaway edition of the Federal News Countdown. Tom Temin of the Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris. Are you in on – you're out on Monday with a best of the Federal Drive.
We have best of because it's a federal holiday.
And
so
you're back nice and fresh and early Monday morning – or Tuesday morning with Amy.
6 a.m.
All right.
We'll be there.
Fantastic. 6 to 10 every morning on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. Larry, have a great Independence Day weekend. And we'll be here on Tuesday at 10:30 for Off the Shelf, of course. And thank you very much for being on.
Francis, it was great. Make sure you give your wife an extra bouquet of flowers.
I will do that. And as I said, I'm out all next weekend. If you see me at Rehoboth, certainly come up and say hello. It's the best of In-Depth with Francis Rose all next week, and I'm back on the 12th with a brand new In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. All clear, gents.